we started having a conversation at unwavering consecration to the call. And like we always do every week, we are going to similarly in this week just take it further, and then we'll trust God for great clarity. And if you were not in last week's service, this is going to be like a continuation. And I'm trusting God for you for understanding. And you know, the song actually directly addresses what we are looking at. Yesterday's man. It's not exactly the same title, but it addresses that. So one of the things that I said our teaching is going to do is that it was going to help us in recalibrating our walk with God. And we said that last week, so we can also refer to these times as times of recalibration. And I gave that explanation of how that equipments need to be reset or what you call it, regularly set to make sure that their readings are accurate every time. If not, you're going to have some interesting readings. And you're still going to believe those readings are right because those equipments were not calibrated rightly. And similarly, in our walk with God, there are just times where you forget the things that you used to do. And no man survives this. The moment you cannot remember the things that you used to do for God, there is a serious problem. So, these are times of recalibration, times of readjustment, times of resetting, times of tightening our walk with God. And of course, we do not want to be yesterday's man. You know what yesterday's man is? Is describing somebody who used to have a certain influence, or, you know, somebody who used to be successful, but now the person is irrelevant, outdated, has no use. Now, I've been, would I say, privileged to meet certain men who tell you, I was once very rich. Have you met people like that? I was once very rich. And they come to you and they tell you that, but I've lost it all. That's a yesterday's man in relation to wealth. He had it before. You know, and that's why as believers, we ought to be careful when we make certain statements like, oh yeah, now we are grown. We don't really need to pray very loud and very boisterous and very zealous. That's for the younger folks, you know. You know, when we come to church, we just makaba, saka. See, what's happening is the children are the ones who are, ah! No, what's happening actually is that you are yesterday's man, you just don't know. And sometimes you find some other, you know, speaking to a dear parent, and the person was saying, oh, sa evangelism, way, me, what me, 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 Oh, na me here. Oh, unim your friend is Asankwegwa. Means me nanti from Asankwegwa sa eko Eastern region. That should tell you how intensified the evangelism was. Then you now ask the person, okay, how about now? Say, now I have a lot of businesses, so I'm not really able to have a lot of time. I quite remember. Oh boy. You're yesterday's man. Now that's quite an extreme because it looks like people sway off out into the ministry and that's quite easy to see. But even in amongst our midst, we ought to pay attention to this. Those times, you wake up, pray, have a quiet time. It's like the word of God becomes your delight. And then you could stay there for long. And over the years, you realize that same zeal is nowhere to be. So you wake up this time and you freely do what you have to do without prayer. A week goes by without prayer. That's a yesterday's man. Missing church was like a taboo. You couldn't think of it. But over the period of time, it becomes normal to you. As a yesterday's man. And oftentimes, you lose that influence. And we see so many biblical illustrations of yesterday's man. Very typical one everyone will know is Samson. A pure, consecrated Nazareth, told not to cut his hair, not to drink any alcohol, giving cautions on the fulfillment of his call. And he walks right out of what he had been told to do. Then we get to realize that the Bible says he will get up and shake himself. And then the Spirit of God will come upon him. And he will break the doors of the city. Carry it shoulder up towards a hill. He's able to get into thousands. Slay them with a jawbone of an ass. And then you get to realize, oh, it's a lion. And then he gets up another time again after he had not set himself apart to the call and shakes himself and he realizes there is no strength. Strength's not. You know, if you will take these teachings seriously, your life is going to be upward and continually forward in your walk with God. So yesterday's men are people who leave back what they started fervently. Someone who God once used. Someone whose strength is lost. Someone who becomes a shadow of himself. That is exactly what these teachings are going to do. I don't know how long it's going to take, because it keeps getting quite steeper as we go. Today we actually have steady, but I'm trusting God for how it's going to go. But we really have a long steady, actually. Or let me say a short steady. So, that is exactly what we have to pay attention to. You know, and this is true. The man in Christ has a tendency to forget. Let's see James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to start reading from verse 23. The man in Christ has a tendency to forget why he was created and for what he ought to be giving himself to. A tendency to say, oh, these people are not serious people. Hey, my goodness. You are serious than God. Ah, they are not serious people. We are on top and we are looking for something. You are saying that church. Saying serving God. You are not serious. You are just not serious. You are not a serious. Are you serious? And then the Christian brother too, unfortunately, he doesn't know who he is, who he is in Christ. And he says, he's thinking as to whether he's really serious or not. So, man has a tendency to forget. He has a tendency to forget. But we must not forget. Are you listening? And we must not forget the reason why we are here. Last week we took some time looking at that. This week we're going to go a bit further. But do not forget what you are learning and what God has created you to do. In James 1, 23 to 25, he says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, what happens to him? He forgetteth what manner of man he was. There's that tendency to forget that God created you and he's called you for a purpose. And so you ought to be giving yourself to that call. You ought to be giving yourself to that call. So there's a tendency to forget. There's a tendency to waver. It's like you waver. You stagger. There's that tendency to lightly esteem what God has called you to do. So James is saying that that's the state of a man. He looks into the mirror and he forgets. That's pretty serious, actually. It's like we wake you up and you say, I've forgotten my face. I mean, how do you forget your face? Do not forget. Are you listening? Do not forget. Say, I will not forget. What God has called me to. Say, I will not forget. What God has called me to. Don't forget. And that's why I'm teaching you, so you will have clarity into what exactly it is. Then you will not forget. You know, I thought to encourage you this morning. The Lord just put an encouragement on my heart. And, you can sit down. And to keep your eyes Don't keep your eyes on money. And don't keep your eyes on a job. Don't keep your eyes on competing with what your classmate in P6 is doing. Don't keep your eyes on one girl that has told you that she loves you so much and she's never going to leave you. You know, in this year, there's never been very high suicide rates. It looks like every single year, people just get tired of life. And that is because they keep their eyes on the wrong things. You know, sometimes don't even keep your eyes on your age. Because sometimes you might say, oh, I'm growing older. And I need to get myself involved in dubious things to make sure I'm fine. Oh, if I don't pass somewhere, now these things doesn't really work. And many people fall prey for this. Because they keep their eyes on the wrong thing. You know, I've never had to look at my friend and envy them. It's never happened. If it's happened, I don't remember. No. I spoke to you about how my friend, in fact, my closest friend told me that, Charlie, we should work something out. I said, but God has called you. Man of God, God has called you. I said, Charlie, now, I think we should reconsider this thing. Because he had his eyes on the wrong thing. See, if you kept your eyes on Jesus, your life will be full of fulfillment and peace and joy. Don't gain your recognition from what men say about you. Don't do that. In fact, I was telling someone yesterday, I said, the things that God highly esteems, you'll be amazed, are the things man very lowly esteems. So you find people keeping their eyes on the wrong thing. They keep their eyes on the wrong thing. And I always look at, you know, people who chase all their life after money and some form of influence. And you get to realize that after it has been achieved, they still come out screaming to the world that they need help. Do not keep your eyes on the wrong thing, people of God. Are you listening? So before we get into our teaching, it's just an exhortation for you. Don't be competitive. Oh, my friend has bought this, so I really need to. What has God told us to do in His Word? That's what we need to be focused on. Oh, my parents are giving me pressure, to get married. Then you now receive the pressure. Then you now start looking around. Who can I just cling to and save myself of the pressure? So you just look around. Maybe there's a fine brother, fine sister, and you just cling to. But let's give that clinging to 20 years or 15, sometimes 10, sometimes 8. It starts to shake heavily. So keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Let Him be your delight. not money, not fame, not all of those things that the world chases after. You know, there are some people who are silently praying for God to take their lives. They know they can't take it themselves, so they pray every day that, Lord, this night again, please, take my life. And I'm saying, Lord, I need more years. Because what I have to do for you, I want to live to do it. I said, where am I going to? Where am I going? You say, oh, world is full of challenges. I see challenges and I say, glory to God. Because it gives me another opportunity to use my faith. It gives me another opportunity to trust God and to see His miraculous power at work in my life. Take your seats. So you see that people are chasing after this, many things. And we ought not to find ourselves doing this. That's not to say you will not be diligent in your secular affairs. Of course, there's that touch of diligence. If you were joining in the prayer sessions last week, your life should have changed by now. So you don't hear me teach some of these things and you say, oh, he's teaching them not to be serious. He's teaching them not to pay attention to their money. And he's all about what. No, I'm teaching you to keep your focus on what God is teaching you to keep your focus on. Yes. But I'm saying while you do all these things, keep your eyes on him. You know, my heart is never going to be broken. Never. I'm not talking about broken as a result of a lady or something. Not that, in that, no. I will never regret having Christ in my life. I will never regret it. I'll never regret it. Because I've kept him on my side. Sit down, I'll tell you something. He's told you how much he'll never leave you and he'll forsake you. He'll never forsake you. He will always be with you. What is more than this? So you find people, they find their joy in how they look. They find their joy in what they have in their hands. They find their joy in what people say about them. All of these should not be your focus. Are you listening? So keep your eyes on him. That's how you're going to walk over troubles of this world and the cares of this world. So I thought to tell you, if you're getting disfocused, keep your eyes on him. A man's life will not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. No. So we're going to trust God to keep our eyes on him. Now, we took a previous week establishing some good ground on which we're going to lay some good structure on this morning. And we're looking at unwavering consecration to the core. In a summary, we got to see what things that man has been set apart to. It means to be consecrated to. We're seeing those things. What has man been set apart to? We got to the book of the beginning in Genesis, which is actually Genesis. We saw that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, that man was created in the image and likeness of God, set apart or consecrated from all other kinds of creation, to reflect God's exact character and nature. Right? We saw that in Genesis chapter 1. And then in Genesis chapter 2, we saw how that man was given an instruction by God to dress and to keep the garden that he had been put in. And today we're going to be laying out some great emphasis on Genesis chapter number 2. Verse 15. And it will interest you to know that in all of the creation story, as penned it down by Moses, there are few instructions that God gives to man. And those are the instructions we are going to pay key attention to. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and to keep. 2:15. We also saw how that in Genesis chapter 3, a scene was played right before us of God having fellowship with man. We also said that man had a consecration, or man was set apart to have fellowship with God. It's to have that intimate relationship with God. And then we saw in Genesis 2:16-17 also how that man had been consecrated to obey him. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28, there is another instruction that we see that God gives to them, which we didn't look at, but we would look at, maybe not today, how that God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, going back to look at all of these, we get to see the entire purpose of man's creation or existence. You know, if we will want to know why you were created, we will have to backdate to the beginning, and then we'll pay attention to the instructions that were giving us as man, right? And that's how we'll be able to now forward track several thousands of years later into what he still expects us to do now, because it does not change and it never will. So man had been given the call to these right from the beginning. Now, as we, or, you know, as, you know, humans evolved and the whole span took place, it looks like we got lost on what exactly it is God wanted us to do, right? And that's what happens. I told you how that everything, if not left attended to, degrades and spoils. How many of us believe that? Everything. You don't pay attention to it. It gets darker. It dies. There's a life that's sucked out of it, right? Yes. Even this place, if we don't come here, nobody steps in here in a few months' time, it's not going to be the same as people trooping in and out. Right? If you want to know what I'm saying is true, just don't bath for 5 days in season. Just 5 days. It's not too long. I'm sure after the 2 days, you say, Charlie. Charlie. That's really going to be serious, you know? And then we add it. We make it worse. We say, don't use sure or use, what do you call it? Yeah, just feel free in the atmosphere. So you see that you will be degrading like this, like this, like this. So when you pass by, we know you are degraded. So everything left unattended to loses its life. Right? So over the period of time, man not paying attention to what he has to pay attention to loses the essence of his living. And that's why we can clearly, from our last week's teaching as well, see that you cannot be called to be a social activist. How many of us have that calling? Like God has called you to be a social activist. right? Say, we're going to preach the gospel. God is raising us as ministers. Glory to God. Brother, what is God raising you as? A mechanical engineer. No. As good as that is, he's not doing that. And he doesn't have a problem with you doing that. He doesn't, it's not his worry, right? But that is exactly not what he has asked us to do. Are you listening? Great. So, he's not called us to be any of these. And that's why we still exhaust. We go round and round and round trying to understand what he's actually called us to, what he's summoned us to. And we're doing that right from the beginning. Say, what has God called you to do? I think I have a calling to be a motivational speaker. So, we have a motivational speakers meeting. I say, you can do it! See? You see? What I want to say, I have to rebrand it. He says I should motivate him. Say that you don't need anybody. You can do it on your own. Hey. It's all about you. We might as well just motivate you to believe that some very funny things are happening. So you say, God has called me to motivate the world. See, gender equality. Male and female, we are the same. Husband and wife are the same. Women, don't listen to the men. When they talk, you talk back to you. So we are the same. We'll take them to the law courts. Is it? Sit down. Why? See? They can do more. Hey. So you see them just, you know, that's my calling. I'm called. God doesn't have a problem with that. Again, don't mistake what I'm saying. But I'm saying that that's not what he has called you to do. Are you listening? Yes, that can be a career. And it's good to want to have all of those. But not exactly what he's called you to do. Right? Great. So you say that, we are advocating for social change and something. So you say, you get some name, maybe female advocacists. There's no word like that. Then you find them spearhead a certain sort of movement. It's good, not wrong. Don't get it wrong. But we must pay attention to what God wants us to do and not get lost in the noise. Are you listening? Great. So, the Bible actually introduces humanity as God's royal priest, ruling with God in Eden, a place full of life and abundance. Take that again. The Bible introduces humanity as God's royal priest, ruling with God in Eden, a place full of life and abundance. But man, deceived by the devil, exits from Eden, causing man to forfeit this call. It's a call to reflect his nature, call to multiply, call to dress and to keep, call to fellowship, a call to obeying Him as God. So man loses that place. And it's quite interesting that Jesus comes and has to restore man back to his place. That's the entirety of the Bible. It's wrapped up in everything I've said. Then man resumes his place of serving as royal priest. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go back into it. We're now getting into what we should be getting into today. Genesis chapter number 2. Verses number 15. We're going to exhaust them all every week. And I'm trusting that we'll do a good job. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress and to keep it. It's going to be our emphasis, but I'm going to read all of it again. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Are we still together? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that it is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, and there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Dilium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And this is what the Lord is doing. Verse 15, can we read together? And the Lord God took man. Can we read that again? And the Lord God took the man. Again? And the Lord God took the man. Let's continue. And put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So that communicates a responsibility, isn't it? So he didn't just put him there to be there. He put him there to do what? To dress and to keep it, right? I told you that we're going to be looking at this because we had received prophecies last week concerning something I said spontaneously. So I was like, okay, let me just pay attention to that. I believe that also should be an emphasis. So he put man in the garden to dress and to keep it. You need your writing materials here. Now to dress is the word abad, the Hebrew word abad. Say, why are you writing? Why wouldn't you write? To dress is the Hebrew word abad. implying service or to serve. And, you know, this word was applied for priests and ministers, that's those who were in consecrative service to the Lord. It's the same way the word is used. The word to dress is the word what? Abba. It means to do what? To serve. And I said it was used for which people? Priests and ministers. So it was used for those who were in consecrative service to the Lord. So he put him there in the garden. Then he says he had to dress and to keep the garden. Right? Now let's see how the same word is used in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. So we can say that, like I said from the beginning, man was a royal priest, right? Yes. And God put him in a space. In Genesis, to dress and to keep. But I said the word dress there will mean to serve. So man right from the beginning ought to have had this nature of service to God. So let's see how he does it. And he puts it in Exodus 19 verse 3 to 6. And Moses went up unto God. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thou say to the children, to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my word, my covenant, looking into your Bibles, then you shall be a peculiar what? Treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Are you listening? So this is the saving of the people of Israel from the wicked hands of the Egyptians. Now the Egyptians is a type of the world, but that's not what we're going into. But he says that, he now says that, verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Priests and a what? Holy nation. Was man created holy? Is the same word consecration. He was consecrated to some things. And I'm saying that we are going to ensure that we are not wavering in the things we ought to be consecrated to. So we're going to see what exactly this sort of consecration as priest means. Then we go to Exodus. Then we see how the word abad is used. Is used for priest and what? And ministers. So he says, let's read verse 6 again. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Priests and what? Holy nation. Right? These are the words which thou shalt speak unto which people? The children of what? Israel, right? So it can be said that the leading of the congregation of Israel out from the hands of the Egyptians, right, could be like a prefigure of God telling them that they were sent out from a place so that they could worship him and do what? And serve him. Do we see that? Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my word, my voice, indeed, and what? Keep my covenant, then ye shall be a what? A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is what? Is mine, right? So, we're still seeing gently the word dress. We said the word dress is what? Serve. Likened to the duty of what? Priests and ministers. Then we go to Exodus. Then we are seeing how the word abad, which is service, is also explained and what is required of them. So they will obey the voice of God indeed. They will keep the covenant. Then he makes them a peculiar treasure above all the people, for all the earth is his. Then they will be a kingdom of what? A kingdom of what? Priests, right? Great. So the word dress connotes Adam's responsibility. It connotes our responsibility as well. I told you that before we see it clearly, we need to go back to Genesis to get to know what was God's intent for man's creation. So can we say Adam was created by God to serve and function as God's priest? Right? In the nations of the earth. So, that also suffices to say that man has priestly responsibilities in God's sacred space. And where will that sacred space be? In God's sacred space. In God's Eden. In God's space. Where God put man. Right? But in God's space, because God will go to have fellowship with him. Do you understand? I'm talking about in Genesis, right? Then in God's sacred space in Exodus, where will that be? In all the earth, but amongst his people, because they are doing a priestly duty or they are serving as a priestly duty. Is that very clear? I told you we have a study today. So if you were, bring your brains here. Are you listening? So follow carefully, yeah? So man has a priestly responsibility in God's what? Sacred space. So if we want to know why God created you, we could backdate, then we get to know what he told Adam to do and why he created Adam. Then it makes it more clear why we are actually here. Is that clear? So to dress means to what? To serve in God's sacred or what? Or holy space, right? All right. I told you today is a teaching session, so I'm going to need your response. So, to dress is the word abad, right? Now, let's look at the word to keep. To keep. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. To keep is the word shamar. Is the word shamar. It implies to guard. Protect or preserve. Now these are also priestly duties. So we're going to look at them. So the expression to dress and to keep are actually priestly duties. So, to dress is to serve, right? And to keep is to do what? To guard, to protect, or to preserve, right? And it also means to wait on a priestly assignment. See, I don't know what God has called me to do. Eh? Pastor, am I called to study English language, or I'm called to study nursing, or I'm called to study architecture. Pastor, please, what is God's call for my life? If I finish teaching you this and you ask me what is God's call, Akoto, I will give you Akoto. Do you know Akoto? Because I'm showing you, we all have this. This is what we all have. Right? Okay. But can God lead you to study certain courses? Yes, He can. He does. But don't take that as the reason why He created you specially. Like you are created to design automobile vehicles. I think Adam should have had roads in his home. So, you see that? To dress and to keep. Now, the word to keep, like I said, is what? Shama. It means to wait on a priestly duty. It means to guard. It means to protect. It means to preserve. Now, why are we looking at this? Because when we see it clearly, we'll see you in there and what you're supposed to do, right? So, let's look at what it signifies in Numbers chapter 3 verse 10. So I said to dress and to keep our what? Priestly duties, right? If we had longer sessions, we could have taken much longer on this. But for Sunday, I want us to look at it. I just want us to see it. Just see it on the surface, right? So let's look at Numbers, chapter number 3. We're looking at priestly duties. So, do you have a priestly duty?
Yes, Pastor, sir.
All right. So in Numbers chapter 3, verse 10, and thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. So, do you remember that I told you that the word ministry was a waiter? Diakonia. Somebody who waits for a responsibility given him. So, in the same regard, we're seeing that to dress and to keep, signifying priestly duties, right, will mean also that we wait to serve God. The whole duty of man, I'm going to show you, this is what we are looking at. So, Aaron and his sons, they shall wait on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. We're going to wait to see what God will give them. They were going to stay to hear what God will tell them. Let's see Numbers 18. Numbers 18. You know, after these teachings, you should be very much fulfilled in God and serving Him in the ministry. And while you do this, never be confused at any point in time. Like, what am I created for? This is what you are created for, my brother, my sister. This is it. If you get this right, there's joy on ending and fulfillment. This is it. There's no other thing. All other things, they sink when you stand on them. Right. So in Numbers chapter 18, verse 7, therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar, and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given you priest's office unto you as a service gift, and the stranger that cometh near shall be put to death. Do you see that there's a priest's office there? Everything of the altar, and within the veil, and ye shall serve. Do you see that? I've given you your priest's office. So this word signified a priestly duty. So Adam, put in God's sacred space, was so he could have this duty. Man on the earth today is not going to be different. He's going to have the same assignment. We're still just on the word to dress and to keep, signifying a priestly duty, we said, right? Now, let's see some other priestly duties. So we said that to wait as a priest or to wait on a priestly duty, right? Now, let's see a watchman, which applies to also a priestly duty. Isaiah. Isaiah, chapter number 21. Isaiah 21, are you in Isaiah? Okay, let's move to Isaiah 62 rather. Verse 6. Isaiah 62:6. And then we'll come back to Isaiah 21. Also, verse 6. 62. Verse 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Can we read this together? Which shall never hold their peace day nor night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Do you see that? So, I told you that he's created you first off to be a priest. The word dress and keep are priestly duties. Then we see the first priestly duty. We saw that he waits in God's holy sacred place. Are you listening? Then we're seeing another priestly duty. We say is the responsibility of who? A watchman. Now, this is what the watchman is going to be doing. I've set watchmen upon thy walls. It means they are going to be up and awake and active. You said you want to know God's plan, the call. Then we'll see how you can consecrate yourself to the call without wavering. So one of the things that you have to do is that you're going to be God's watchman. You're going to stand upon thy walls. Then you will not hold your peace. You're not going to hold your peace. And you're not going to be holding your peace day or night. It's going to be continuous. In the morning, you're not holding your peace. In the night, you're not holding your peace. And you that make mention of the Lord, you are not going to keep silent. We're looking at your responsibility, my responsibility, right from the beginning. So these are intercessors or watchmen that stand tall, not holding their peace, crying day and night. Of course, standing in the gap for other people who have not come to the knowledge of what they have or what they know. So, a priestly duty will be standing upon your watch. Some of you do not know that the ministry of prayer and intercession is not exactly for you. In that, if you decide not to, it's just because you decide not to. It's one of your duties as a priest. If you're going to be fulfilling the call, which is a call to consecration, in this priestly call, you're going to have to be able to stand on your watch. And you know what watchmen do? They stand and then they look around. They make sure the whole city, the entire city is saved. And they will not hold back their peace. They will intercede in tears. How many of us saw how that we spent some time back on Friday praying for other people, traveling for them? That is the responsibility of the priest as well. He stands there and he stands as a watchman. He watches over the city and makes sure that there are no thieves, robbers, no destruction around wherever it is that he finds himself. He goes in the night, puts his knees to the floor, sees the whole of Accra, and say, Lord, you need to give us the city. You need to give us the city. We take this city. We cover this city. Now, you know, in the olden days, the priest had that effort. He would stand there with the Urim, with the Thummim. He was dressed in his apparel. The moment the believer wakes up in the day, at night, stands on his watch, begins to pray, and begins to speak words, he intercedes for the people. How is it that you are a priest that does not pray? It's not something that you decide to. It's something you have actually been called to dress and to keep as significant priestly duties that everybody must have. How sad would it be to take your seats if you stood before God and he told you, brother, I gave you a priestly duty. And you say, Lord, but I didn't know. No, I gave you a priestly duty. To dress and to keep, just like Adam. That's what he was doing. Moses used all of these examples to point us to a reality of something that God wants for us as well. So you find people praying, Lord, that more men are going to be saved. More men. You wake up at dawn. You stand upon your watch. You know, many times, the pastor is supposed to pray for the people. All the people are supposed to pray for all the people, and everybody is supposed to be praying for everyone. Not only the pastor.
Yes, pastor.
You know, we are fond of just, you know, segregating responsibilities. Saying that, the pastor should pray for the people. The pastor should pray for the church. The pastor should pray that the finances of the church is good. Yes, he is going to do that. But how about the members together with the pastor, joining forces together and praying out God's plan? So they're going to be praying. They're going to be praying. They're going to be praying. You stand upon your watch. They say maybe there's a war, or there's something that's happening in some town. Priests will wake up. Because a key responsibility of that office is to make sure that God's plan was prayed out and they were going to be watchmen. How are you going to have disciples? You don't pray. Sit down. Priest. Priest. You don't pray. I'm telling you that it's not something that is just for the evangelists. It's something that God set for everyone to do. How many of us walk past youthful people and there's a burning in our hearts like, Lord, these people need God? That's a priestly call. That's a priestly call. That's a priestly call. That's a priestly call. See, those of you you struggle with to get them hearing the gospel, it's because your knees have not hit the floor. You're not praying. You're not praying. You're not praying. When you see people in your home, in your family, giving to alcoholism, drunk, smoking, you know, just messing up their lives, is a call for a priestly duty. Somebody who's going to stand. Somebody who's going to stand. And I'm telling you that God is with you. In that duty, God is with you. I'm telling you, God is with you in that duty. Whenever you take your place in prayer, God stands with you. You know, one time, I remember, I went somewhere, and I came back. Quite an experience that stamps, or let me say, that confirms what I'm saying. For me and for everyone listening to me. And so, I got back from the place. A couple of times this happened. But I got back and I was broken. I said, Lord, what am I going to do to help these people? I called my pastor and I said, this thing seems to be a burden on my heart. You know, he just encouraged me. He said, yes, the Lord is opening your heart, of course, to that priestly duty. So, I'll just go in and I'm just trying to think what can I do? What can I do? I'm starting to pray and I'm still wondering what is there to be done. And I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I fell into sleep while praying and I saw a wall. And on the wall, there were letters in different languages I couldn't read and understand. But there was a latter part of the wall. I could read it. And it was in English. And they had four words there. I am with you. Let me tell you something. In this priestly duty, God approves and he endorses it that you will stand as a watchman, burdened with the burdens of the Lord, to do what he's called you to do. Look what David says. Let's go back. Sit down. Quietly. Let's go to Psalm 141. And after these teachings, many of you are going to understand why you receive certain burdens at certain times. It's because there's a call to be a watchman. There's a call to be an intercessor, a spiritual watchman. Look at what David is saying in Psalm 141, verse 2. Verse 2. He says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Wow. As incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We're going to look at that towards the latter part. But you see that he's saying that the prayers that I offer, he used the symbol of an incense to communicate how pleasant it is to God. So, in our priestly duty of praying and standing as watchmen and as being burdened with God's burden, you know, there are times I've been burdened in my heart. I felt, this is really serious burden. But then you get into prayer and you realize those burdens just lift. Because he wants you offering those to him. It's your duty. It's your duty. Let's see Exodus. It's your duty. So, you say, oh, let's pray. You just say, hey, they should hurry up and close. We want to go home. And this responsibility ought to be perpetual. Let's see it in Exodus 30, verse 7 to 8. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron was a priest, right? And when Aaron lighted the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. So there is need for us as priests of God to be consecrated. To prayer. Spiritual watchmen. Men who see. And they take action. You see, when you're a priest, it's not much of, Pastor, I feel like praying. I don't feel like praying. You know, there was one time, I think the Lord told me that, you better stop that, I feel like praying, I don't feel like praying. I just said, yes, Lord, it's my duty. Because I remember how I used to work. And I used to work very long. And every day I was on it. Every day. Even sometimes you wake up. Hello. Do I have witnesses here? Not today. Even your brushing time is like, it's not the way it used to be. You brush more quicker, isn't it? You're a witness. It's like, not today. But in the not today, like you are busy, you are going. You're going. Not today, but you are still at it. So he brought that picture to my mind. There were times you did not want to. You walk, sir, your thighs are hurting. Or you stand in it, your thighs are hurting. But the next day, you still hold your back very quietly and you are on it again. That's the duty. Prayer is like that. It has nothing to do with, I feel like praying. No, it's a duty. It's something that you are being called to. I'm telling you that, you know, Kenneth Higgins, take your seats. Kenneth Higgins shares a story of a woman that spent her entire life praying out churches in areas where there was no churches. Yes. So she comes into Accra, for example. And then she settles in here. She looks around. But there's no church. Then she begins to pray. She begins to pray. And it was said that when she got to the town and she prayed out the first church, she moved to the next town. What a priest. Now, sometimes you will see these churches growing. They'll wonder, who is behind it? Was not even the pastor. Was not the pastor. There was somebody that assumed her priestly place, said that no, we're going to stand as watchmen. And you know what watchmen will do? They ensure that the cities are safe. And safety wouldn't have to do with wars. It will have to do with God's plan. God's battles are being won. The preaching and the teaching of the gospel is taking place. So she gets into a city. She realizes that there's no church. Then she stays there. Then she prays out the church. She prays. The moment the church is birthed, she moves again to another city. Now, these people might not be known by any, you know, like, reverend, doctor, so-so and so. But she did what God had called her to do. Some of you must catch burdens after this. As priests, you say, we'll pray for the church. We'll pray for this for the church. You see, prayer becomes much more exciting and full and invigorated with life when it's not about you. It's about, Lord, give me this. Lord, you need to open this for me. You need to ensure this happens. There's a duty that's called. And so the moment the Spirit of God inspires your heart as a watchman to see that there's terror in the space, you assume the position and place of prayer. You get it. You see, I need prayers because I pray for you. I also need prayers. I'm going to pray for pastor every single day. And just as the priest will stand daily, you stand giving your bit. You stand giving your portion of what God can do in your prayer. Do you know something? When you see it happen, you're going to know, this is a result of a priestly prayer. Right? Yes. We're praying. We're praying. We're praying. We're praying. The prophetess Anna was old, but she found herself continually praying in the temple and seeing that Jesus' call, his birth, will happen. Until she saw it, she never stopped praying. You're praying. You're praying. You're praying. You're praying. You're praying. You are praying. You're praying. You're praying. You're praying. You can get up at 1 a.m. in the morning. Jakata. Jiveke pratitia. 2 a.m. in the morning. Jabadavadabalagatea. 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Japrakatalabada. Mando jopretiste freteke palabradagadeva. Shile mangro stuprateva. Viva nondo. Brobodosho. Bradabada. Mantro zovrakapa. Japrata palabakapa. Je preteke palabrado zobradaba. Mandegi je preteke porodobo. Je preteke liva jabrata paradaba. Mando zobrodo brozo brodo brodo bodobo. La da 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 da. La da 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 ba. La da 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 ba. Mando zobradaba da katistia. Brosu sekete nivia. Branta liva je preteke pa. Madodo jobrodo bodobo. Lepra seprete petebe de vedia. Paluje prantala bakapa. Mando joprande kepali bazevradaba. Kingdom of priests saprakatea. Mando joprande kepaliva. Labra jata kapaya. Labra jata kapaya. Jeprete kepelevea. Mando joprande kepa. Labra jata palagatea. Brendizo protopolobo. Lord, we catch burdens in this place as a church. Jabrata kapaya. Brando jobrande kepa. Labra jata palaba. Rabababo jobrodobo rakata. Mande jiva kapa. Lepre jete kepa. Men that stand in their place of watch. Jevretilma. Mando zobra negadiva. Parata palaba shanda praba kapala bata. Rapapa baba bakapa. Rapapa baba baba bakapa. Rabababa jabrandaba. Mando jobrate genevelebede. La brajata pa, le brozona brata kapala badaba, rakapala bajanda braba baba, mande gise te prenista prata balia, jambra da kapala ba, la brajada branda kapa, reketala bajanda braba ba, mando jobrande kepa. Jabrata palabadaba, lebreziza brato rababa, lebrezebre degedebedebe, mando jobrodobo, rabababa katalimata, labrashata palagada. This is the reason why God created us, to take our place as priests. Mando zute kreteniba, barodobo zande kretefia, mando zobrakata, leprete ketelibadaba, aradada zantalaba, rebende zebradaba, labrazata palagadaba, rabababo zodobrondo kopo, lebrazabrata patapata, labrata kapadabadaba, labrata. Rata pada bada ba, labrata pada bada bada, labrata pada bada bada ba, labrata pada bada bada, manto sobranda bada gaba, lebrente gebelebe sobranda ba, lepro sobrodo ba. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach. Rule over them. Shabratapa. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say,
spare thy people. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Mandosisia, Katiba Dobaragadea, Shantru Saketaya, Branto Sebreketeliba, Rapapaba, Leprando Sopratekediva, Laprakata Labada, Laprakata Labadaba, Laprakata Labadaba, Laprakata Labadaba, spare thy people, Mando Sabradaba. In our day, it will be let the light of God's gospel shine over the land. Mantus Vidia, Kapa. We pray for Legon. We pray for this city. Pada Basantalaba, Rada Distia, Rekatagadagadagia, Samprata Papa Pacapa, Rapapa Papacatea, Mando Soprande Kepa, Labrasata Kapa, Labrasata Kapa, Labrasata Kapa, Labrasata Kapa, Labrasata Kapa, Labrasata Kapa, Mando Soprate Gada, Ragadigi Dagada, Ragadigi Dagada, Ragadigi Dagada, Palabasanta Daba, Leprecate Leperedebe, Manto Sopratea, spare thy people, Sapratapa. This is your responsibility, I'm telling you, Manto Tapa, to dress and to keep. We are supernaturally ordering, Manto Suse Bregadia, Makopa, Rabababa, Labrasata Laba, Labradagada. Now there are times where there are louder calls of spare thy people. These are the responsibilities of the priest. Times of louder calls. Now these are times of louder calls. We're going to take it a bit more louder. Mantus Gratapa, Zepretepetepe, Mando Rabababa, Manta Rabababa, Manta Rakatadaba, Manto Rabababa, Rakata, Lopronto Daba, Manta Tila Badaba. These are louder cries of priest Kata, Rapapapapapa, Radadaba Santa, Iadadadadada, Rabamba Bamba, Rabababa Shatila Bakata, Labratadaba, Rakatadaba. We pray for this city, Kapatuti Navagaba, Rapapada Branda, Rabai Rakatea, Labrasadaba, Rabada Kratapa, Leprentegadaba, Rabranta, Labranta, 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 Rabba, 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 Raga, Yokata, Rabba, 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 Aya, Rabba, Yoga, Labranda Bandaba, Labranda Bandaba, Labranda Bandaba, Labra, Rabba, Rakata Bandaba, Rakata Bandaba, Labrakata Daba, Labrakata Daba, Labrakata Daba, Labranda Bandaba. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, Rabba, 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 Rabba. Rabba, Rabba, Adunama, Rakata, Rakata, Rabada, Rabba, 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 Atumada, 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 Akatua, Akatua, Rakata, 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 Aya, Atugada, Rakata, Rakata, Atabada, Rabada. Laba, 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 atapa, laba, 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 lagata, atubada, atubada, labada, aya, atekate, ragada, atigidi, lagata, lagada, 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 aya, atadaba, yatada, rababa. As you pray, you see the whole city trooping in, atitidi, Rakata, 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 Aya, Atatata, Radada, Atiti, Atata, Ladada, Ladada, Laba, Atatata, Yakatak, 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 Labada, Aya, Atumana, Rakata, Aya, Atakata, Rakata, 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 Aya, Atunama, Labada, Rabba, 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 Atimana, Rabba, Atata, Rakata, Rabba, Rabba, Atabaya, Rabba, the light of this gospel, Rabba, Rabba, Rakataka, Rabba, Rakataka, Iyakata, 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 Rabba, 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 in whom the God of this world had blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on them. Right now we pray, as nations of priests and prophets and kings, Iyata, let every blindfolding, let every blindfolding right now, it falls off. In this city, let them rush in. Let this blindfolding on their eyes. Let the scales fall off. Rabba yakata, lakata kiti gitagada, lakata yakata, lakata. We're doing this for the next 1 minute. Lakata tuku tuku takada, rabba yataka, lakata tuku tuku takada, rabba tuku tiki takada, lakata tuki tika takada, lakata aya. Atenada, 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 Rabba, let's see, let your eyes see the campuses covered and taken. Central University, let those campuses be taken. Let Legon be taken. Let UCC be taken. Every place and space right now. Iyokataka, rakataka, 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 atumana, lapro, atabataba, rakata, atakataka, rabataba, iyokata, 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 labra, 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 labra. Labrantaba, 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 Labrantaba. Let the gates of this city, let the gates of this city, let the gates of this city. We are pushing this in the next few minutes. Let the gates of this city, let it fall flat open, and let souls, let men troop in. Labrantakapaya, Rotata, Iyokataka, Iyokataka, Iyakataka, Iyakata, Lapa, 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 Aketea, Aketea. We call souls from the north, from the east, from the south, to the west. We call them forth as nations of priests, as nations of priests. We call them forth. We dress and keep, we dress and keep, we dress and keep, we dress and keep. Iyakataka, Rapa, 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 Aya. Adunama Labra Takatakatia Labra 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 Atakata Lakata Labra 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 Yakata Labra Atututut Atatatat Arakatat Radatat 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 Ragada Labradam Yada Aya Atamana Yabana Yoda Yoda Laba Aya. See your disciples multiplying. See the men multiplying. Laba Yada Raba 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 Yaka 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 Aya Atuma Labrashata Laba Yakata Labrashata Labranda Kapa Raba Baba Baba Shata Daba Matoko Potoko Poya Labrashata Daba Rakata Daba Daba Raba Baba Shanda Braba Akapata Pata Kapana Ba Raba Labranda Kapala Basha Braba Ba Lepresisa Prakata Daba. In Jesus' name we pray. Take your seats. So the priest will be found laying out his priestly duty. And he does this by offering incense of intercession. Joel 2:17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, Joel 2:17, let them weep beyond the porch and the altar. You know, I took you to all these kinds of prayers because they are important, all of them. Pastor. And there's also another kind of prayer that you are laid on your bed. You have tears just rolling in. And you're praying silently. They can only see your lips moving. Probably hear a few whispers. So there are different kinds of ways to execute this priestly duty or this priestly assignment. You can pray somber. You can pray very loud. Don't say, oh, it's not. As a priest, you need to be very calm and sober. No. That's why I took you through the loud and I took you through the normal. And now I'm telling you that there are times where you are laid on your bed and you can only have whispers just coming out of you and tears pouring out of you. Tears can be interspersed in all kinds and all forms of priestly kind of prayers. It's to pray for the city. It's to pray for the leaders. It's to see something go wrong and it draws you to that place of prayer. Is to pray for others who are hurting and others who are in great need. So you're going to find out that this duty, or we are finding out that this duty entails being a watchman. You see, these are the things that God esteems, that man does not esteem. If I said you were owner of a Lambo, there are some people who will be more joyful. But this is a clear example of that which God esteems. So a priest is going to be waiting. A priest is going to be a watchman. A priest is going to be, the third one, a keeper of the charge of the tabernacle. Of the temple. We're looking at the whole thing actually is to dress and keep, then have dominion. We'll see that maybe next week. That's everything that we can do for him. And this is what the enemy comes to distort. And God comes to finally redeem us from that distorted place. And he puts us back to it.
So priests are also keepers of the charge of the tabernacle. They are those that serve in. They wait to serve in. They are found as watchmen. They are also keepers of the charge of the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter number 3. Keepers of the charge. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. These are the things you're going to have God ask you whether you did when you stand before. They shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation. It means that they are going to be teachers and keepers of his instructions or commandments of God. They're going to teach. And they are also going to keep the commandments, statuses, and judgments of God. To be found teaching God's word. And no wonder in Matthew 28, he gives us that same instruction as he gave to his disciples. Go ye therefore and teach. So, as priests, you're going to make sure that God's word is taught. That's what I'm doing for you. You also do for other people. It's within the tabernacle. How many people do you preach or teach to? You are neglecting a priestly duty when you don't. I'm telling you that this is the whole duty. Whole responsibility. Aside the chasing of the money and working in whatever finances, law firm, bank, and all of these things. These are things that came as we went, and they are good. But I want to point your attention, I want to draw your attention to what is actually required of you. The children, you should be listening to me too. They now know more than, I'm telling some children nowadays, they know more than even you sitting here. The things they can tell you. Yes. I met some children, I told you, they were now telling me the names of dogs that I did not know. I said, you know the names of dogs I don't know. Then that means that you can preach the gospel. Because if you, and they gave me over, whatever. Dogs, different. It was the first time I had different types of dogs. And I had to keep them in my mind and go and Google them to see what they look like. Yeah. So those are the back, the children, you are also part. You can understand. You can understand. So they're going to be teachers. And they're going to make sure their life also is that example, because you'll be teaching somebody. And so they also become that example. They teach and they keep the commandments of the status. Let's see Exodus 34. You learning something? Exodus 34. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of Mount Abib. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. They were keepers, right? Of the instructions, of the commandments, of the laws of God. How many of us are going to be priests from this day? Let me tell you something. There's more. I'm going to show it to you. We're about to close. But I want you to see something. That in everything that you do, make sure you fulfill these. How can you fulfill these if you're not in a local church? You can. You're far outside. And that's why we give ourselves to discipleship. We give ourselves to being taught and then eventually becoming teachers. It's not something you wish. That's what you were created to do. That's what God expects of you. That's what God expects. They teach and they keep the commandments. Teachers and preservers of God's word. You know, you can see that same example in Jesus' life. What did he come to do? It will tell you exactly what God expects you to do. He went around preaching and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That was all that Jesus was doing. He moves from one place to the other. And he's preaching. And he's teaching. He moves from another place and another. And he's preaching. And he's teaching. You know, if we saw Jesus Christ in town today, I'm sure someone walked in and said, you know, Jesus, you know, I think Ghana is an economically dead state. I mean, yeah, the current president is trying to revive it, but it's really not working. So Jesus, the Son of God, I think you can just speak a word and the whole economy of Ghana is going to be changed. That's what you will expect him to do. That's what you will expect him to do. I mean, he can also do it. He can just speak a word and every money would be fine. In fact, you don't even have need for money. You fetch the rice and the rice becomes fuller. He can do it. The rice doesn't finish. He can do it. Your needle will never finish. Your Milo will never finish. Shito will never finish. Gary will never finish. And do you know what we'll do? We'll say, that's the savior of the world. You know, that's what we'll say. Like you give 50 cities and the 50 cities is still there. You give the 50 cities and the 50 cities is still there. Some of you, I know what you do. Take your seats. You're just going to say, oh no, I'm not going to go to work again. That's it. This is enough. And the smart ones will remove it down, keep removing it, just in case it stops. That's what you'll expect Jesus to do. That's what you'll expect him to do. But I'll tell you what he was doing. His profession was teaching and preaching. That's what he was doing. His profession was teaching and preaching. Thinking about it, aren't you? Your life is not different, my brother. And you are not more smarter than Jesus. And you don't know more than him. You are not different from him. Thanking. Somebody said, you know, let's go. We want to see where you stay. He says, foxes have no place to lay their heads. Oh, so Jesus, are you trying to tell me you don't have a house? But if I say receive not having a house, you're going to say the man of God cursed me in the service. But that is the reason why many go to church. To get a house. To get a car. To get a promotion. You are looking at me right now. And you are in the service. You came to church because you have told God that, God, if I come to this church, next week by this time, if I go hungry, I will never, don't talk to me about church ever again. My mind is made. Pastor is there preaching yesterday's man. We don't even care. What is yesterday's man? We don't care about yesterday's man. We don't really care. It's not really a, it's not something we care about. Don't want to be yesterday's man. Then you give it to Reggae. Don't want to rely upon the works of you. And you are jingling because the song is a nice song, you see. Don't want to rely upon the works of yesterday. Yeah. Come on. I see you. And you hear me say, come up here, come up here. There is more to... Don't want to rely upon the works. Those church people, they should go away. Come on. Yeah. Hey, there is mothers. So, you see that you are not serious about anything. But you see, take your seats. You cannot have an excuse because I'm teaching you. Yeah. Because the song is nice, you just turn into reggae and you jingle with the song. I've never had songs like, the song is very powerful, but you wish it was a reggae song. Or it was something to, you know, rock tag with. If only. It's a very, very serious thing. Teachers and preservers of the law. Teachers and preservers of the law. So you find out that I'm teaching you. You also ought to teach someone else. And that's why we subscribe to the model of discipleship in the church. Because it's one of our priestly duties. It's one of them. Any man that lived without these lived an empty life. It will only take eternity for you to know. And I can tell you the joy of giving yourself to these. You see, you are first spirit. Before you are the man you think you are, naturally. And since God is the one that creates the spirit that he put on the inside of you, he is the only one that can tell you what can bring you that fulfillment and joy. It's in the spirit. So priests are going to be teachers. These are temple services. And then the next one, giving thanks, worship, and sacrificial service to the Lord. Okay, teachers and priests, write Malachi 2:7. You can go and read that. And then let's go to, we said, the next thing you're going to do is the last thing we're actually going to talk about is giving thanks, worship, and sacrificial service to the Lord. First Chronicles. Next week, we're going to see the other things that cover this. See, till you become old, just stand before him, because I trust that we go to be 120 Except you don't want to. First Chronicles 23. Verse 30. A priest will be found doing this. 23:30. I'll wait for you to get there. First Chronicles 23:30. Can we read together as a church? In the next 3 seconds. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. Do you see that? So a priest as well, remember right from Adam, dressing and keeping priestly duties, is that he stands to give thanks and praise unto the word Lord. He does this when? Morning, evening, a life of thanksgiving and praise to God. It's giving thanks is a priestly duty as well. So when you complain, oh, you're stepping out of your place. You say, Lord, I give you my heart. Give you my soul. I live for you alone. So you see that? Living for him will be these priestly duties. A life of things. Praise. A life that is sacrificial, that offers sacrifices of praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise to evening. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So just as the priests will give thanks in the old, signifying what he had called us to do right from the beginning that Adam slipped up, we today offer thanks. And we cannot sacrifice bulls and goats and rams, but our sacrifice is on our lips. You say, thank you, Jesus, for your son. And thank you for what you have done in Christ. We give thanks in his name. Let's go back to our scripture, Psalm 141. Sacrifices that are on our lips is a priestly duty. So when we gather and we lift up hands, it's not because we feel like it. It's a sacrifice that we render unto him. In Psalm 141, it says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. Then he now says, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So you lift up hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, God told Israel to offer two sacrifices. One in the morning, and then the other in the evening. And the evening sacrifice was that they will burn out some incense. Oftentimes, to conclude the day in thanksgiving and adoration of God's presence in their midst. So, you find out that it reminded the people of Israel that God was with them. And don't forget, it was daily and it was regular. So today, our sacrifice will not be going somewhere to burn some incense and burn some sacrifices. But when we lift up hands, it's like priests lifting up their hands. And that's why when we pray, we advise that you lift up holy hands. Because that symbolizes a power. A power is released. A power is released. As you behold him and as you see him and as you lift up holy hands, you're saying, your priest is here. And it's just not going to be in the lifting up of hands as an evening sacrifice, something that you do daily, regular, consistent. It's also going to be praise on your lips. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your son. Thank you. Thank you. Just go ahead and thank God. Priests. Priests. We lifted hands. We were gentle. Oh, we lifted hands.
We lifted hands.
I can see people lifted hands.
We worship
gentle.
Oh,
we lifted hands. We lifted hands.
We lift hands,
Father, we worship.
We worship you.
Oh, we lifted hands.
We lift hands.
We lifted hands.
We lifted hands.
Father, we worship.
We worship
you.
Oh,
we lifted hands.
Before
you,
yeah,
we are.
priest. We worship. We worship. We worship. We worship. We bow before you. We honor you.
My God.
Oh, we lift hands. Father, we worship. We worship. We worship. We worship. Oh, we bow before your throne.
We bow before
you. And we honor you. Father, this great privilege
Thank you for your grace. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Kalibra zakra totolo brozo brata barata bata krata kata barata basha. Kia toporo toboso pratikita le vratega perata viva la prataka bada. Kora baba baba baba. Shabra kata la braze prakata rada basha taragada bada. Kate barata basha prataka barata basha. Kala bashanda prapa papa katala prata parada bada mato para kata baje prakatala prakatala prata bada prata kapara tapa je prata para katala baje branda bala kataba mantala baje prakata Atila Marotabaya, Brantolaba, I'll be a preacher, I'll be a teacher, I'll be one that offers incense, Makatalia, Robobosia, Brando Copolia, Jebranda Kapaya, I'll be a priest, one that guards, Katati Bolamaya, a strong watchman, Kalimombo, Susikinde, Brantusa, Vivigibadusa, Rapapaya, Kalabajanta, Rabababo, Shotekredebea. Let's quickly see this before we go. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 9 to 10. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Do we see that in Exodus? Israel's redemption from Egypt. And he now says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we've looked at priestly duties. Next week we're going to be looking at kingly duties. Begin to speak in tongues. Zopratapaya. Proto poto proto poradabaya, makapaya, rapapaba, zeprekete regativa.